Only Bright Productions presents...
I think I like this candle. Don't you think lighting a candle is kind of cliche?
A Beacon Street film.
What do you mean? Like, everyone does that in movies. Concentrate on the candle, concentrate on the flame.
It works.
Really?
Feel the candle.
I feel it's getting warmer. Is that just my imagination?
No, honey, it's not lit.
I can't see anything.
I'll help you. I'll talk you through it. Okay?
Okay.
So here's the match.
Oh. Okay.
And the matchbox comes with a striker on the side.
It's scary.
You just do this like that and light on fire.
In association with Carriage House Pictures.
And harder.
And VFR Films.
Almost.
I'm afraid of it.
Why are you afraid of it?
Because I'm afraid of fire.
A small flame lights.
Now hold on to the candle with the other hand.
The flame hovers.
Almost there. And you'll see when it lights up a little bit higher.
It touches the wick.
And just keep it right there. Keep your match right there. And it'll light that on fire.
The wick catches.
It's getting shorter and shorter.
Yeah, good.
She blows out the match.
Good. Wick.
The candle glows.
And can I blow it out?
I'll blow it out now.
A girl's face is briefly lit. Words appear. Best and most beautiful things. Woods by the road move by. The words disappear and reappear among the trees, then vanish. Bangor, Maine. Cars and trucks pass a small green clapboard house. Inside, a laptop sits open on a wood dining room table. A clock reads 11:10. A door is slightly ajar. Orange fuzzy dice hang from the doorknob. On a side table sits a wood-framed picture of a slender brunette with slightly crossed eyes. She's in a blue cap and gown. An inscription reads, Perkins School for the Blind, Class of 2012. All we see is possibility. The girl from the photograph lies under a pink blanket with her eyes closed. Words appear. 1 year, the time since Michelle Smith, 20, graduated from Perkins School for the Blind. A gray cat lies on the bed. The white tip of a cane rests on the floor next to a pet dish that reads, I Heart Daria. A cartoon of teen girls plays on a laptop.
It's a freaking genius show. It's a show about outcasts that tells you it's okay to be an outcast.
Dolls in multicolored dresses and hairstyles line a windowsill. In the bathroom, bottles and a flip phone clutter the counter of a sink. Michelle points a blow dryer at her hair. She buttons a green corduroy jacket and clips a pin in her hair.
I'd always felt like I was not normal, like I did not fit in.
She dons pink I Heart Nerds socks and a red wig.
First of all, I am legally blind. I cannot see your face from this distance at all, unless I am literally almost nose to nose with you.
Seated on a couch, Michelle's eyes move up and down. She looks right.
I forget that the camera's over here, not up there.
She misses a hook on her lace-up black boots.
Oh, crap. I also have something called Asperger's syndrome, otherwise known as high-functioning autism. It's that I get very obsessed with things in my head. And, it takes over my brain, basically.
She leans close to a screen.
That makes two of us.
I didn't figure you to believe in all that mumbo-gumbo.
Gee, I hope this won't lower your opinion of me.
The character on screen, with red hair and a green jacket, is reflected in her large glasses.
Basically, my childhood, it was mostly things that were quote-unquote normal for little girls to like, but I liked them in the extreme. When I was 14, it was stuff like Star Trek and anime.
She holds a convention badge with the name Toasty. She winks for the camera. She touches her nose to a box and moves it around to see images.
I am a big Evangelion collector, mostly Rey, but Asuka's cool too. Even Misato, there's something about her that I think a lot of people can relate to. This place where you have to pretend to be happy because your whole life is falling down around you. All the characters, they are these deeply flawed people.
In a convention center hallway, she stands in the center of display booths as people walk around. She feels the tail on a girl's costume.
Oh, her own character that she created.
Wow, what's the character's name?
Amarante.
I like it. Look at the cosplay she's wearing. I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh, Ray. I want to get with you and take your picture. My roommate tried to warn me, but that hair you got is still so corny.
She walks past a girl who wears black wings and horns. She watches someone with silver air duct limbs and styrofoam boots stumble past. At home. In the kitchen with her mother.
Hello, Mumsy.
Hey, honey.
It's
smells like sandwiches.
Yeah, roast beef and salami.
Ooh,
onions
yummy.
And tomatoes.
What about banana peppers?
I'm going to try to see if there's any in the fridge.
All right. Nowadays, I feel like I need to have some tangible success in my life.
I don't think they're in here. I think we ate them all.
Top shelf on the right.
Oh.
She pulls out the jar of peppers. She leans close to squirt mustard on the bread.
I want to get up in the morning, pour myself a cup of coffee, and think, okay, I'm going to work. What am I going to do today at work? And when I come home in the evening, feel like I've had a long, fulfilling day, and I'm earning my money. That feeling that all kids want, which is to be an adult.
In the living room, she eats the sandwich. Words appear. 75% rate of unemployment for people in America like Michelle who are visually impaired. Julie Smith.
Michelle was a very good baby. She didn't cry a lot. She did a lot of looking around, and we didn't know until she was 3 months old that she even had a vision problem.
When I was in kindergarten, my parents said, if the kids laugh at you, just ignore them. And I was thinking, why would they laugh at me? I was never popular in public school.
Video footage of a younger Michelle using a cane. She walks over blacktop.
The kids would literally be like, ew, there's Michelle. We're going to catch her disease. And then just like run away.
In a school hallway.
That was probably the worst. Because I couldn't see the faces. People made, but I could hear the words, and that hurt the most.
Kids pass her.
I wasn't angry at them. I didn't want to go punch them, but it felt like emptiness.
As more kids go by, she walks a crooked line down the hall. In her room, she peers at the computer.
When I'm on the computer, I can see things, for the most part, the way the sighted world sees things. And when people talk to me online, a lot of times they don't even know that I'm blind. And so I feel like it equalizes me, but then when I leave the house and go out into the world, it's not like that.
Hey, what's up?
A young man appears on the screen.
I'm good. How are you?
It's so cool seeing you on Skype. It's like I'm right there in your house, except I don't have to deal with your mom.
I can call her in there if you want.
Ah, no!
Words appear. Matt, Michelle's best friend from high school.
Don't do that to me!
We know you're crazy. I want for us to live closer together and always hang out.
Oh, I'm hugging the computer now.
She wraps her arms around the screen. He hugs the screen on his side. She sits back, rests her chin on her hands, and smiles. Outside the window, leaves wave in the breeze. Michelle zips up a lilac jacket. In her room, she bends toward the floor, moves items, and feels around.
What did I do with my...
She rifles through clothes and boxes.
Where was my...
She goes to the dining room.
Hey, Mom. Do you know what happened to my backpack?
No.
The cat watches her. She returns to her room.
Find it, like, at all. Wonderful. I haven't gone anywhere. I didn't left the house.
Her mother joins her. She looks around.
I don't see you anywhere.
Yeah, I know.
She lowers her head.
You didn't go...
No, I didn't go anywhere for, like, a week.
I don't know, but we gotta go. So we're gonna have to go without it.
I don't know what to do.
She feels under her bed.
It's just nowhere. It's just nowhere. This is my life.
She sits on the bed and plays with a medical bracelet on her wrist and wrings her hands.
haunting me.
Outside the house, large oak leaves hang over a wooden birdhouse. Michelle taps the side of a syringe, uncaps it, and expresses some fluid. She injects it into her thigh. At Maine Eye Center,
I take medication for my hormones, I take birth control for hormones, and I take growth hormone, I take prednisone, Levoxyl, and I take some vitamins and some DHEA for libido.
I see. So do you have a closed-circuit TV? How do you find your function?
I do. How do I function? Quite well. I'm just kidding. I have a closed-circuit TV, and I have a computer.
So you just enlarge the font big enough that you can see it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you look way over here at the light?
The doctor covers her right eye.
Look way over to your left as far as you can.
I'm sorry. I'm doing my best.
You're doing your best. Just look straight ahead.
Look at the screen?
Mm-hmm.
He shines a light in her eye.
Good. Can you see the screen at the end of the room?
I can see the screen. It's very bright.
Can you make the letter out or no?
I can see there's something on the screen, but definitely I cannot see the letter.
How about now? I made it bigger.
Is it possibly an E?
Nope. Good guess.
Okay.
How about now?
Is it
an
A?
One?
Good. Yep.
That's around 20 over 1,000. So what that means is at 20 feet, mm-hmm. you can see what an average person would see at 1,000 feet with that eye. So when she looks at something, she's using more of a peripheral portion of her retina to see that. So even the 21,000 is a blur to her.
Mm.
She can make it out, she can resolve it, but it's still a blurry 21,000.
It takes a bit.
That's right, it takes a lot of effort.
A road sign for Bangor, Hudson, and Bradford. Julie and Michelle swing on a swing set.
I want to see all aspects of life. Just because I'm legally blind doesn't mean I have to miss out on what the world has to offer.
Michelle plays with a doll with pink eyes. More dolls line her dresser and windowsills.
This is Picture Day Abby Abominable. Abby Abominable is the daughter of the Yeti. And she's like my favorite character because she's really blunt. Plus she has a cool accent. This is Skeleta Calaveras, which is, Skeleta is sort of like pseudo-Spanish for little skeleton girl, and she is like from the Mexican holiday, Day of the Dead. This is Meowlity, and this is Persephone, and they are werecats as well. So 7, 6, and 4, then 4, then 2.
She counts the dolls.
I want to experience, you know, like working and romance and partying and all that stuff. Going to bars, going to museums.
23 dolls.
Yay!
I'm in doll heaven.
I'm ready for the uncensored world. You know what I mean? Even the good, bad, and the ugly.
She sits on her bed.
So I went and got a job working for this woman at a post office, a post office hub. And they have vending machines, some of which have, like, food that's made in the kitchen and things like that. And every Wednesday and Friday, I would come in and wash my hands and say, what do you want me to do? And I would do it. I would do it to the best of my abilities. And sometimes I would get a little nervous and a little bit, oh, I feel like I'm not doing this right. I did all these little things, apparently. Like, I made excuses when they said I did something wrong. I freaked out. I went into another room and cried. And then I got fired from it. That's basically my first job experience. The really pathetic thing is that it wasn't even a real job, it was training. I got fired during training. Oy vey.
She plays with a purple-haired doll. At a department store, Michelle and Julie look through CDs.
Yes, she could do the tasks that she was told to do.
Every bill, every avenue.
But what they weren't expecting and weren't really prepared for was her Asperger's and the emotional things that she can't control.
Look at that one.
Be yourself. Everyone else is already taken.
That's funny.
Fridge magnets.
And so she's wondering, if I can get fired from that, where do I go from here? What do I do now?
Michelle rides in the back seat.
shine to remember where you are.
She certainly does feel that the struggles and losses in her life have helped define her. So.
A middle-aged man rides a tractor. Words appear. Mike Smith.
When she decided to go to Perkins, it was right after her dad and I split.
He pushes felled trees and cuts branches.
At first, I thought she was trying to escape, you know, like just, you know, and I could see a lot of her wanting to just get away from the situation. I mean, divorce is never easy for anybody, but ours was particularly volatile.
He drags the logs behind the machine.
She was right in the middle, so she took it really hard.
Michelle lies on a bed with purple sheets. Words appear. Bradford, Maine. Michelle's childhood home. A teen boy rides a bike.
When my mom was here, I was a lot younger, so I don't know how it's really changed much. My dad just does things differently, I guess.
Words appear. Michael Smith. A cluttered hallway and unfinished floors.
Like, my sister, she doesn't really like it, like, the wilderness, because, well, she can't see, really, so it's not really exciting to her. She's usually pretty wrapped up in anime and cats and collecting dolls. Yeah, that was her bike, yep.
He pulls a bent bike out of the weeds.
These ones are the three real guns I have. 12-gauge, 22, and 30-06.
Michael and another brother look at guns.
I mean, I love my dad, and I love my brothers, and I love the house I grew up in, but if I had to live there, I would be, like, devastated.
In her room, dead flies litter the carpet and counter. In another room, words appear. Jordan Smith, he looks at a wall.
And there's the mouse in the light socket that crawled in there and got electrocuted and died.
A mouse is wedged in a receptacle.
There was actually somebody sleeping here, and there was no mouse in the socket, and then they woke up and there was a fried mouse in the light socket. It's kind of gross.
In her room, Michelle drinks pop. The white two-story house sits by a dirt road.
I built this house. The reason it's so big, I wanted to have a half dozen kids.
There at the dining room table.
You know, for several years, we were, you know, that perfect American family. Before they go to bed, they come down, give me hugs, kisses.
Still a little. Mm-hmm. Give them hugs.
Michelle leans her head on her dad's arm. Mike shrugs.
Can't get enough hugs.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't want them to be these kids that end up down the road having these issues because of their mother or me or the divorce or whatever.
And Mom mentioned this. I've completely forgotten about this, but you guys promised me that you guys would never get a divorce.
Oh, I told you guys you never had to worry about that. We wouldn't get divorced.
And you don't have to. You don't have to feel. I'm just commenting on that.
Mike shrugs.
No. You know, I don't want to sit there and say a bunch of bad stuff about her, but she used them to get to me and stuff. And they knew it. Yeah. You guys didn't even wonder about any of that. You got to be, well, all right, we need to accept this is who your mother is.
In her kitchen, Julie runs dishes under the faucet.
Yeah, I won't say that I did everything right, but neither did their dad. I guess the thing that really hurts the most is that he convinced them that I did things that I never did. Went to a bad depression. I don't know, I just never imagined what my life would bring.
In the dining room, the cat lies on a picture quilt. Julie and Michelle run their hands along it. Julie holds up a portion.
Remember we made those t-shirts for that birthday party, Michelle?
Oh, yeah.
He was 11.
And I was 11, exactly.
A photo of a blonde boy.
He was not doing so well, so he had an early birthday party for him, and everybody made t-shirts. And it was like you had the sense of, I'm going to get every chance I can to play with him and do things with just him and I.
All day.
Mitchell and I hung out outside and played played outside on like the trampoline and all sorts of all the different outside toys we had.
Julie swallows. She shakes her head. She puts her chin in her hand, elbow resting on the quilt.
All the treatments down there in Boston, you know, we had, like, we were split up as a family. You know, we lost connection there.
Video of the three children, much younger, with backpacks. They run down a wooded road.
Boy, this is an exciting day.
Do you got anything you want to say to your mom and dad? Because they're going to be watching this weekend.
I'll tell you something. I miss mom and dad, and I wish they were here to see this.
Michael starts to hop.
And I hope that Mitchell's okay.
What are you going to do today?
I don't know, but I'm a little nervous.
You are?
Yeah.
Oh, it was the first day of school. Going back is a little nervous, isn't it?
Yeah. Especially in fifth grade, because fifth grade, pump up, volume, dance.
Michelle smiles. The kids board a yellow bus. In the dining room, Julie's eyes tear up. Michelle touches her shoulder. A quilt in the hall. Mitchell's name in embroidery and more photos.
He only had 5 years. That is such a short time to be on this earth. I can't even imagine that. How hard that must have been when he realized, because I know people realize even if they're that young, when they're about to die.
A picture of smiling Mitchell with Mike on the tractor.
He knew it. Because he said, I'm not scared. And then mom asked him, does your head hurt? And he said, no. And then he died. Oh my goodness, he was such a good kid.
In her room, Michelle combs her wet hair. She leans against a wall, hugging a pink Hello Kitty pillow. She rests her face on it. Words appear. 2 years earlier, Perkins School for the Blind, Watertown, Massachusetts. In an auditorium seat, Michelle wears a headset. She and other blind students listen as a describer speaks into a microphone.
Well, be with you, gentlemen.
I will prophesy. He comes to tell me of the players.
My lord, I have news to tell you.
My lord, I have news to tell you.
The actors are come hither, my lord.
Jephthah!
Judge of Israel! What a treasure hath thou!
And like, then he goes through, like, I feel like he goes through sort of manic swings almost.
Okay, feelings of worthlessness or feelings of...
Grandeur.
In a classroom.
Sort almost like, a middle child in many ways.
Yeah, but, yeah. He is. Everyone's fussing over Hamlet because he's being, like, all dramatic, and that's not acceptable to them. He was an outcast.
I picture him listening to, like, Joni Mitchell, whereas, you know, later you listen to AC/DC.
I think Foreign Bras listen to Dragon Force.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
I'll take your word for it. I want to go back to your point, Daniel. When he was talking...
When I first came to Perkins, everyone immediately started accepting me. And that's when I started really making friends and being curious about other people.
In the chapel, students stand in a circle.
You are, and that's how I see it.
Jeff Migliozzi.
We have students here who just don't have permission to explore.
Perkins instructor.
My standard joke about being blind is when you walk into a room and people don't know you, the first thing they want to do is sit you down. They want to get you seated as quick as possible, and they want to keep you in that chair until you leave.
A statue of being deep in thought.
Michelle rests her chin on her hand.
Because they're afraid you're going to trip, you're going to fall, you're going to smash something, you're going to knock something over, you're going to whatever. And so, you know, you're conditioned. Yeah, you're conditioned not to explore.
Try to figure out what's...
She holds her hand, palm out.
I'm like blocking.
This is what I think you're doing.
Okay, so
Jeff
now...
imitates her.
All right, so I'm going to go back and we're going to play the first song again. And this has really been the goal of this whole year. Using the arts as a way of discovering ourselves, understanding myth, understanding story.
Jeff starts a Bob Dylan CD.
Everything went from bad to worse. Money never changed a thing. Death kept following, tracking us down. At least I heard your bluebird sing. Now somebody's got to show their hand. Time is an enemy.
The kids nod their heads. Some read along in Braille.
I guess it must be up to me.
Somebody had to unlock your heart. He said it was up to me.
I would have let it slide if I had lived my life by what others were thinking. The heart inside me would have died. But I was just too stubborn to ever be governed by enforced insanity.
Someone had to reach for the rising star. I guess it was up to me. Michelle holds a piece of paper close to her face.
There's something about Hamlet. By Michelle Smith, an unlicensed psychiatrist who just read the DSM yesterday. Hamlet's rambling on about how he has no interest in men or women, and all of his moaning and groaning about the world being rotten. The only thing he seems interested in is walking aimlessly through the castle with his stockings around his ankles. Over a short period of time, he went from being the prince who everyone loved to being a depressed, morbid, guilty insomniac. Quite a feat, I must say. I hope he gets better soon. Oh, he's dead? Oh well, time to diagnose Macbeth.
She grins. Outside, Michelle walks toward a brick building.
And that's so much of why I think her story is so universal. Helen Keller showed us very clearly what it is to be human and that you don't need all your senses to be fully in the world. Not being a blind person, not being a deaf person, being a person, and connecting to all of humanity.
Infinite in the chapel, the kids raise their arms.
They feel here at Perkins like everybody's watching them all the time. But there's a structure here and a regimen here, and all of a sudden it stops. And all of a sudden they've got to be advocating for themselves. They've got to be making the decisions. It's almost like being on the escalator and then coming up and being shot out, you know, and all of a sudden you have to catch your bearings because now you're on your own.
Outside the school, a fence sports the sign Perkins in letters and in large braille. Inside, at prom, Matt in a suit and tie and Michelle in a blue and purple dress dance in pulsing purple light. Matt spins under Michelle's arm. They smile.
I'm going to miss this place, but in some ways I feel like I've almost outgrown it. I want to leave and I want to take on the world. The world will be my burrito.
In the coat room, Michelle spins in her dress and smiles. She packs a suitcase. In an auditorium, seated among other families, Julie Smith looks around. In the hall, Michelle plays with the tassel on her graduation cap.
Each and every one of you has the talent and the ability to create your own life. Know yourself and know all the challenges you face, and don't put yourself on the sidelines. Not everybody's going to understand you or see you as capable. Or in some cases, they may even pity you, God forbid.
The family stand.
But you can't let that stop you from being the most important person in your own world.
The graduates walk to the stage.
You know, all people are great in their dreams. The point that I want for you guys is to be important in your own life. Not just in your dreams, but in your real life. You know, that it is, in fact, up to you.
Michelle receives her diploma and grins. In the audience, Julie smiles and applauds. Michelle and her family smile and pose for pictures. Luggage sits near the door of an apartment. Michelle stands in Mike's arms. He hugs her and rubs his hand up and down her back. Julie and Mike wait in the doorway. They roll her luggage behind them as they walk out into the bright sunlight. In her bedroom, Michelle lies on the bed hugging her Hello Kitty pillow. A white line appears. It moves to the right, stopping at the word graduation. It then continues to another point. Fall, 2013. Outside, at Julie's. Michelle pulls a large wheeled garbage can to the curb. She walks back to the house.
Hi, Fran. Hi, Maxwell.
In the living room, Michelle peers closely into a large aquarium. Tropical fish eat specks of food at the water's surface.
I would wake up, go on the computer, take my meds, have some coffee, go on the computer, take a shower, go on the computer. But I pretty much spent an entire year in my room. And now I'm sort of feeling like I'm ready to step out again into the world and be social.
The shadow of Michelle with her cane moves across the pavement. In a roller skating rink, people glide around the rink under flashing red, blue, and yellow lights. They slap the hands of others as they pass by the side. Alone, Michelle pulls herself hand over hand along the railing on the wall. Julie watches from the side of the rink. Michelle skates up to the front desk.
Thank you so much. That was fun.
It's going to be really hard for Michelle to find a job that she's able to do. I mean, I have friends of mine that are unemployed without disabilities. I work waitressing at a steakhouse, and I'm studying to get my degree in nursing right now, and I'm lucky to have the job that I have. They're just not out there. I'm here in Bangor. And I don't think there's going to be a lot of employers that are going to give her the chance, because she's going to need a lot of assistance and a lot of time. I don't know if, you know, someone has the patience for that.
Michelle holds a microphone.
Or she has a patience in herself for that.
Michelle's 21st birthday. She moves with the music.
I'm wide awake and I can see the perfect sky is torn.
Don't forget to wish Michelle a happy birthday.
She joins Julie and a man. A woman walks up.
I can't see. I'm legally blind, so any song that I know, I have to memorize all the words to.
I know that, but you're amazing. Oh, thank you so much.
You did a great job.
Michelle sips her drink from a straw. Julie leans over to talk with the man. Words appear. Bill, Julie's new boyfriend.
There have been times we have fought about things. There are some things that I don't trust her on.
In Michelle's room.
She cheated on my... Was she here?
No.
She cheated on my dad a lot. She lied. She stole. She just did really bad things in the past, and luckily she's not doing them anymore, but... She will never admit to them, and I can't talk to her about it. But, because she'll threaten to kick me out. She thought that happened last time I brought it up, but she threatened to kick me out.
She holds a stuffed toy.
We were in the car, and I was telling her, I'm like, I know you did these things. She just would yell, and I'm like, okay, I'll go back to pretending I believe you then, just so that I'm allowed to stay in the convenience of Bangor. And then I'm like, is that what you want? Want me to keep pretending I believe you?
Michelle and Julie walk down steps to the water's edge.
And we haven't really talked about it since at all. We just pretty much forgot that all ever happened, or pretend that we forgot.
Michelle lets go of Julie's arm.
He convinced them that I was unfaithful, and she believed him. And it's hard that she has this opinion of me that's not true.
They stand on a road. Julie kisses her cheek. Michelle pats her mother's head.
So creepy.
No. He didn't slobber on my face.
Lick you like a dog.
No.
They stroll down the road. The waves reflect pink in the low sun. In the house, pictures of Julie and Michelle. In a framed photo, Bill and Julie pose near a piano with flowers and glasses of champagne. Nighttime. On the dark streets, the traffic lights blink yellow. A light shines in the window of the house. A digital clock switches from 3:06 to 3:07. Michelle sets down a drink next to the computer and leans close to the screen. She reads large white print on a blue background. In the lower right corner, the words, Kinky Chat. Underlined words, Enforced Bedtime. Damn, girl, you are a freak. I myself am strange. She looks at images of semi-nude people. She sleeps with her hands tucked under her cheek. Daytime. Words appear. Alumni Weekend, 2013. Perkins School for the Blind. Inside. Michelle touches the hand of a woman with dark glasses. Words appear. Jamie Lard, spokesperson, Perkins School for the Blind.
Okay.
Yes, that's it. That's very cool.
Another woman stands with them. Jamie signs.
So what do you do? Like, what have you been doing since you graduated? Are you working? Are you in college?
I had a job, and due to some miscommunication and some people who really didn't understand my Asperger's syndrome...
The other woman signs into Jamie's hand.
I got fired.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah. That's too bad. I get it.
And so I decided to take some time off and figure things out. I have a lot of friends online.
So do you live by yourself, or do you live with your family?
I live with my mom right now.
Jamie signs.
Have you started looking for apartments yet, or... Oh, no, excuse me, that was my mistake. I started looking for apartments pretty much close to when I was graduating, and I had Perkins help me with that, of course. But for my whole life, I wanted to be able to have my own apartment and do my own things and be independent and not be dependent on my family. Then I can still go out and do all the things I want to do, like camping and stuff. All the things that I loved when I was little, I still love doing them now.
Yeah, a lot of the things I liked when I was little, I still like. Like, I like to collect toys and stuff.
Jamie holds Michelle's hands.
Hi.
Hi. Good job.
My.
Uh-huh. Perfect.
Michelle signs.
Name.
Perfect.
Is, what's it?
Oh, it was like, the M on your chin.
This
M?
Jamie follows her hand.
Yep, that's M. Okay. My name is Michelle.
Yeah, I did it.
Yeah, you did it.
They both clap.
Yay, bravo, bravo. Good for you.
That's awesome.
Oh, Jamie got chills.
Oh.
Tree branches sway. Leaves cast patterns on the sidewalk. A statue of young Helen Keller and Anne Sullivan, hands touching. Carolyn Assa, Perkins Executive Director of Communications.
I found out about an opportunity that I think would be really amazing for you. The guy that created the Rugrats, do you know that cartoon?
I very well know it.
He would really love to have you be an intern there in Los Angeles, either this summer or this fall, if you would be interested.
I'm shaking, I need to sit down. Are you sure I'm not dreaming? What will he want me to do as an intern? He knows I'm blind, right?
Like, he knows you're blind.
Okay.
Maybe you would get to voice characters.
Oh my God, do you know how much I've wanted to be a voice actor since I was like a little kid? Oh my goodness! I don't really have the money to really be... I live on SSI right now, so...
We want to work with you to figure it out.
My brain feels all tingly.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah.
Well, I hope we can make it happen, because I think you would be amazing.
Outside.
And yes, seriously.
Julie and Bill smile.
No, I'm not even...
No, your mom doesn't want to lose you.
Julie hugs her.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, I really am. That's why I meant my big break.
They walk together down the sidewalk. At Mike's.
He wants me to come to L.A. and live in L.A. and be a voice actor and be his intern. And do voice acting.
Jordan nods. Michael looks on.
Yeah, you're gonna
That's
do
pretty
it.
Big.
Yes.
Her dad smiles.
Yeah, I'm gonna move to L.A. sometime in January.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
at Julie's.
It kind of freaked me out a little bit. What is she doing? What's going on? Are people taking advantage of her, you know?
At Perkins.
It sounds kind of crazy. The woman from the communications department is going on her own time. This isn't a Perkins-sponsored event for Michelle. My understanding is that she's just being sort of introduced to some people who might down the road be able to steer her in some direction or give her some help or some ideas. But it seemed like the message Michelle got was that she was going out to L.A. to be a star and that it was going to be all very easy and there were going to be places for her to stay and there were going to be people who were going to help her.
I'm going to have, like, an agent, probably, and maybe I might even do, like, some singing and stuff. I might even do some, like, screen acting. I really don't know.
You think you'll just stay out there? You think you'll come back home and visit?
I don't know. I'm probably going to come back home and visit, definitely, but...
So if we want to see you, we're going to have to come see you?
Yeah, come visit me.
That's big news. Mm-hmm. In some ways, it's a little bit scary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll be stressing about things. Oh my God, she's gonna forget to do this. Or she's, you know, she's gonna be listening to her headphones or something on the bus and miss her bus stop or, you know, the stuff like that.
Michelle is such a fun, lovely, interesting young woman. She has so many good skills. People really, really care about her. But the cold reality of it is there's just a lot of pieces that have to be put in place.
Just stuff that she does now, just the everyday medications and, you know, getting things that she needs for herself at a store.
You have to think about the transportation. Where are you going to get the food? Do you know anybody to live with? If something goes wrong, where the support's going to be? You know, I don't want her to be crushed and we don't want to fall apart. I don't want that for Michelle.
Hopefully I won't get fired from this one.
You'll always be awesome to us.
Yep.
I think you're you, and we're all stuck with it.
Pretty much, yeah. You're stuck with the me you have.
But I also always tell my students the future is theirs, and this is what she wants to do. It just seems like there's just not enough in place here to make me say that, you know, I could give my blessing to what's going on.
Emotionally, I think it would be a huge setback for her if it didn't work out. And it would take her a while to get back on track.
Julie plays with the strings on her sweatshirt.
I do.
The white timeline appears. It moves to the right to winter 2014. Big flakes of snow fall slowly. A large white house is flanked by evergreen trees. Michelle and Julie walk up the driveway to the back door. A blonde woman opens it. Words appear. Lori Spencer, mobility specialist and counselor to Michelle.
Well, guess who's coming to dinner?
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Well, good. I love the new glasses.
Thank you.
Come on in.
This place smells like nostalgia.
Lori Spencer was Michelle's Division of the Blind teacher. Very appreciative of what, you know, Lori did for Michelle. But she always thought that Michelle wouldn't be able to live on her own. She kind of had low expectations of Michelle.
Super, you want to take your coat off, kiddo? It's going to get awful warm if you don't.
I came here because I want to talk to you. I want to, for lack of a better word, confront you on some things. But I want you to know that you were a great teacher to me in a lot of ways. You taught me, and I think that now I can sort of talk to you.
Okay.
I think about a lot of people who work with people with disabilities don't really... They tend to think that our certain personality quirks that aren't considered normal are just a side effect of our disability that needs to be changed and fixed, and our individuality is not considered as important as someone without a disability because a lot of it is considered like a side effect of our disability. Oh, she doesn't know that it's weird to like to collect dolls when she's 21, which I do like to collect dolls. And it's like, no, I know that people are going to think it's weird, but it's who I am, and I feel like other people's ignorance should not be my burden to bear. I should be able to be myself. I'm not hurting anyone. And there's so many people who are trained to work with people with disabilities telling me you will never be a real adult. People are always going to talk to you like you're a child.
And so when we were at that meeting, and I said, is there any way I could get a new cane, or is there anywhere that I can go to get a new cane? I wasn't telling him, get me a cane now. And then you went, puh, 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 puh. That was like the final straw in my head of all the condescension and patronizing stuff. And so, yeah, I kind of blew up at you. And I know that I probably could have dealt with it better, but it just kind of like was the final straw for me.
Okay. And mm-hmm. I will just tell you where I'm coming from, because I certainly didn't mean to hurt your feelings. Mm-hmm. It's not you. It's the autism speaking. And so I don't take anything personally. So what happens if you apply for a job? I know at our futures planning meeting we were talking mm-hmm. about some different job things mm-hmm. that might interest you. And what are you going to do differently?
I understand that unlike most people, it's going to be a lot harder for me to get a job. And that kind of does make me sad. But, I mean, I'm going to L.A. to be a voice actor.
And what?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
What is this? This is new.
I got an internship doing voice acting.
What's like voice acting? I don't know what this
like,
is.
Like, you know, cartoons.
That
you
have, oh, like, you, okay, yeah. You did the voice first. Okay, I got it,
so,
I got it, I got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we'd have to work it out, but I definitely think this is something I could do and be really happy doing and, you know, make good money.
Well, I wish you all the best of luck.
Her world is so small. The knowledge that she is lacking between the vision loss and not seeing everything that goes on, but then also because of the autism, that neurological, mental, whatever you want to call it, she doesn't get it. And that's why I don't see her as being totally independent. I just don't.
Outside, Julie and Michelle walk to the car.
It feels like she looks at your condition in black or white.
You're either perfectly independent and you know everything, or you don't know anything and are not capable of living alone.
Yeah.
Nighttime. Christmas lights and figures decorate the houses and lawns. Michelle, Julie, and Bill walk arm in arm across a town street. The sidewalks have snow on them. In a restaurant, a TV plays a soccer game. Menus are on the table.
I don't really appreciate it.
That's what you're reading into it. And we've had this conversation many times. It's not.
You're not going to convince me that I should go to basketball games. I am not really interested in basketball, and I know it sounds rude because I know Jordan is like in it and everything, but
Jordan gets a lot of playing time now. Like he's a starter.
I can't tell who he is out there.
No, but I can talk to you. I can say, oh my god, he went down. He just scored two points.
I understand that you don't want to pick a side, but I'm just saying
It's not about picking sides. It's not about anybody winning. It's just
I'm feeling like my life is being turned upside down. You never tried to convince me to go to any sporting events for like the last 5 years of my life, and I don't think that makes me a bad person.
It's not about making you a bad person, but it's about doing things that, you know, expanding your horizons and, you know, like
well,
Dallas.
I really
you and
hate
I.
When people say that, because it's really condescending. People don't say that to normal people. When normal people do what they want to do, people usually just leave them alone. They don't tell them they have to expand their horizons. Isn't it okay for me to like some things and not like other things? Isn't
Absolutely.
That okay?
And you are a normal person, Michelle. We're not saying you should expand your horizons because of Asperger's or because of your blindness. It's just supporting your brother. Right. Not saying that you have, you know, I'm not saying at all that, hey, you should become a sports fan, because
imagine if you can, if all you can do is hear squeak, 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 people screaming, and there's no input, it's just loud offending sounds to your ears, and you have to sit there for 2 hours on a hard bench listening to that while everyone around you is all excited, and you just feel left out and slightly uncomfortable, and you feel like you're supposed to feel like you're supportive, but you don't.
A blur of white and red lights move by. At Ralph J. Jewett Auditorium, Michelle walks across the snowy lot and goes in the door.
Oh, okay. Well, that's with them.
Okay.
That's with them.
All
in the entry. She stops and turns. A woman holds tickets. The woman points to the left. Michelle turns left and right. She follows the woman into the court. Julie brushes hair from Michelle's forehead. She walks ahead of Julie and past the stand to the back door. Julie takes her arm and leads her back to the stands. They climb the bleachers to their seats. Mike comes over and hugs her. On the floor, Jordan waits with the other players. Michelle sits with her chin on her hand and her elbow on her knee. She applauds quietly. Blurs of players move on the floor. Snowflakes drift from a gray sky past snow-covered evergreens. Words appear. 6 months, the amount of time of Michelle's trip to L.A. has been delayed. 1 week, the length of her planned trip, reduced from an internship to a visit. At Julie's, a wreath decorates the front door. In Michelle's bedroom, she types on her laptop. She looks at the letters under a heading, About Me.
Hello all, there are a few things I need to get out of the way before I start prattling on about myself and my interests.
Blurred photos on the screen show her in a black bra and panties.
I'm legally blind and I have Asperger's syndrome. This has seriously turned some people off. Some people have the misconception that because I have this disabilities, that means I can't consent. I'm actually a very fun, friendly, accepting, and an approachable person. I'm curious about all kinds of age play, sexual, non-sexual, dark, light and fluffy, and more. When I first got into this lifestyle, I was convinced that no one would want to play with some blind chick. I'm so happy I was wrong.
More blurred, flesh-colored photos. On her bed, Michelle and a young man with sandy hair lie closely and hold hands. Words appear. Michael. He picks up a comic book and a blank sheet of paper. He writes on it with a crayon.
Now this is a word you never say.
This is my first real relationship as an adult, really. I can't see it.
He holds up a piece of paper.
This seems true.
I still can't see it.
How about now?
It's very sort of a special relationship, and it's kind of hard to explain it. Fiddle shoes.
Then again, that's...
We're both very, very open-minded. It's a great feeling, it really is.
In the living room, Bill decorates a lit Christmas tree. A red stocking ornament bears the name Mitchell. A large stocking is on the table.
You want to do rock, paper, scissors? Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Dang it.
Yay, I get to go first.
And again, you're going to find some really weird stuff in there.
Okay. It's a train. It's a train. Oh my goodness, it's a train.
But which train?
Reneus!
Yes!
Yay, Reneus!
No, we don't.
All right, there's one more thing in the bottom. It feels kind of heavy.
That one will require a little bit of context.
Oh my goodness. What?
Oh, you found it.
Is it a flogger?
On the couch, Bill looks over his shoulder.
It is. Oh my goodness.
Hang on, it looks a little crooked. Let me try to straighten it out.
No, you're just going to hit me with it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Ooh, BDSM, it's like this taboo thing. There are lots of different ways that people choose to be dominant or submissive. I sort of see it as an adventure. It's not about like abuse or anything like that. It's about you hand over your free will and you have so much trust in that person that you can hand over your free will to them and say, you are now in control of me. And it's very liberating and it's very amazing feeling. Some people might be like, ew, that's weird, that's gross. But it's really not. It's an alternative lifestyle. It's a different kind of relationship. It's very special to us.
They sit side by side on her bed.
What are we going to do about L.A., Michelle?
I can't even describe how much I want to live with you, Michelle.
I'm still in my junior year of college, and like I would just kill to just drop everything, go out to L.A., pursue my dreams as a computer scientist / voice actor, but...
Kitty.
She lifts the cat off his leg.
Oh, sorry.
Its claws catch.
The way I see it is, it's so far away, and our relationship is so new that we can't say for definite, but we're hoping to move to L.A.
She leans her head on his shoulder.
Hopefully that works out the way we want it to.
On a windowsill sits a framed photo of Bill and Julie. In Michelle's room, the character dolls line the sill. Michelle takes a blouse from a hanger.
Then I have a lot of jeans on those hangers that I never wear and that don't fit me, so...
Julie reaches for a long strap.
There are options.
It's attached under the mattress.
What are you looking at my bed for?
Julie holds up the strap.
That's not something you should be seeing.
Julie walks away, then turns back.
I was worried you'd find those one day.
It's about to me. It looks like a strap to a...
I thought you'd noticed them before and just ignored them.
Them what? It's a strap to a suitcase.
No, it's not.
Okay,
do you seriously want to know what it is?
No.
Okay. I didn't think you did.
To me, I didn't find anything. It looks like a strap to a suitcase to me.
It's not.
Okay.
Michelle turns to the camera and shakes her head. She drapes her purse over her shoulder. She kicks at the strap. Michael wears Google glasses.
Today we are going to a BDSM-centric munch.
Michelle gets her cane.
It's like the 50 Shades of Grey stuff. It's where people that like to be tied up and beaten or tying up and doing the beating, like go to meet, hang out, talk about stuff.
In a drugstore.
Michelle, every time she goes into little mode, i.e. the baby, I have to take the role of the daddy.
They pick out adult diapers.
Means I have to basically take care of my little girl, like whether it be play with her non-sexually, believe it or not, like I'm still trying to dip my toe into it, so there's a lot I have to learn.
In Michelle's room.
Why you open the job, that's right.
She hands Michael a bottle of talcum powder. He grips the cap.
Maybe you can get, like, the jar opener thing.
He uses a device to open it.
Yeah, I know you'd like it.
She stands in diaper, underwear, and bra.
Okay, item one, the switch. That'll be good for when you're really, really bad.
She drops her chin and smiles.
Or if I just feel like using it. Guess which one I'm probably going to go with today.
I don't even have to guess. I'm usually not that bad.
Yeah.
I'm usually a good little girl.
Ooh, the flogger.
He strokes the black strands.
Nice little... little spiky thing.
He hits his leg.
Yes?
Hello.
Hello.
Howdy, howdy.
How are you guys doing?
Not too bad.
Getting ready.
Beautiful Sunday morning.
Getting ready.
Saturday.
Getting ready for what?
Getting ready for the party.
We're going to run into our friend Caitlin down there. She's going to buy us a present.
Mm-hmm.
What?
You really got to stop using names, you know?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So is there anything special going on? What are you guys going to be doing?
Well, it's going to be like, it's sort of like a costume party, but not like Halloween costumes, more like...
What's the theme of...
Well, it's a BDSM and kink and fetish group.
In the dining room.
I was nervous to tell you, but there was also a part of my mind that says, if she finds restraints on my bed or a flogger in my closet, I don't want her to assume the worst.
Yeah.
I know that this makes you uncomfortable, but I feel like if I didn't tell you, it would make things more uncomfortable.
And I trust you in your intuition and your ability to express yourself and what you are comfortable with and what you're not comfortable with and not let people take advantage of you.
Never, ever.
So, but yeah, I don't go there in my mind.
That's good. I don't want my little girl. I know. And I don't see things
from my point of view too a little bit.
Outside, Michael and Michelle get into the back seat of a van. The van passes one and two-story houses in the dusk.
We went over to the party. Their house, which is sort of in a secluded, undisclosed location. It was starting to get dark, and people were starting to show up in droves. We went downstairs to the basement, which is where the big sitting area is, and also the dungeon. And I was wearing a little skirt and a little shirt with nothing underneath it except for a diaper or a dieter, depending on how old I am in my head when I say it. It's just in case, but I'm a big girl, I can go to the potty. I had hot dogs for dinner and Oreos. They actually called me little girl and asked me, what are you drawing? Oh, it's a cat, what does a cat say? And you know, you're so cute and things like that. This girl came over who was in puppy mode. She was barking and stuff on all fours, and she wanted to cuddle with us, and she really liked me. She was being really cuddly with me.
At Julie's, she surfs on a computer, looking at pages for BDSM, sexual role play, and category power exchange. She scrolls through pictures of hands and wrists bound.
It's very wonderful.
In Michelle's room, Michelle wears Hello Kitty pajamas. She and Julie hug.
How are you feeling?
Light. I feel light and floating. Divine, almost. I feel like I'm on top of the world.
That's a good way to feel. I shouldn't say that's how you're supposed to feel, but that's definitely a good way to feel after one of these kinds of parties.
They lie in bed, arms around each other.
Michelle, you were great today.
Yeah.
Michael turns out the light. Morning. Bill stands in the kitchen doorway. Michelle walks in. Michael rinses a dish.
Yeah, dishes are basically our attempt to make this morning.
So Mike's done. We can get your assistance in rinsing the dishes and drying them and putting away.
She stands in the center of the kitchen.
You want to jump in now? Mike could probably use some assistance in the washing side.
I don't know if two people can wash dishes at the same time.
There were four people in here earlier.
Michelle wipes the dish.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Sure?
Yeah.
Michael kisses her cheek. Nighttime, in the kitchen.
I had a dream last night that we had one last really bad argument where we were both having a screaming match, and then you went up to Mom and said, I can't handle your daughter. It's her or me or something like that, or you kick her out or whatever, or I leave, and then you left, and then Mom got so mad at me and said that it was my fault for ruining the relationship, and I was like, oh, phew, it was just a dream, but I walked out, and you were sitting on the couch quietly, and I did not see you anywhere, and I got so scared. I was like, oh, my God. So I just...
There never has been a threat of kicking you out. I've never said that to you. I've never intimated that to you. I've never said that to your mother. Okay. Never said that your boyfriend can come over. When you sat on the kitchen floor and, you know, said, you guys hate me and why do you want me out of here? It's not about that at all. And it's never been talked about, never been said. It's completely about
you know, doing the dishes.
I know this is at least the fifth conversation we've had about dishes. Mom loves me, I'm her daughter, and Mom loves you, you're her boyfriend. And I think that, and even though we would not have chosen, hey, let's go and be in a house together, I think that we can find common ground and so Mom can be happy and we can be happy.
Absolutely.
Yay.
Michelle reaches for her mother and hugs her.
Group hug. Yay.
She reaches for Bill and draws him into the hug. On a street, Michelle and Michael walk to a brightly lit building.
Men and women indoor pool.
Yes, for men and women.
What about people who are non-binary? Can't they swim too?
They walk down a hallway into a pool area. She removes her outer clothes. She wears a pink two-piece bathing suit.
Oh my goodness, it feels so warm. It's like bathwater warm.
I don't believe you.
I think you're under another step.
I seriously, like, was telling my friend Sam about you and told him about all these different things. You've got, like, a great personality. You are really funny. She's sexy. It wasn't until he made a joke, like, why would she date you? Was she blind or something? I'm like, oh, yeah, she's blind.
1, 2, 3, cannonball!
They hold hands and jump into the water.
She's the one for me, and I just can't live without her. My arms be lying around her. I'm so glad I found her once again.
We have one.
I am.
Oh, I'm. I'll follow you.
I don't care what you do.
I'll do whatever you do.
He kisses her shoulder. They submerge in the water. The white timeline moves to the right, spring 2014, at Perkins School. Jeff and Michelle walk side by side from the chapel.
So tell me about L.A.
I'm going to be visiting for a week, and then I'm moving in late summer.
Where are you going to live? How are you going to work all that out?
We're figuring it out.
Okay. My only concern is a month seems like a very short period of time to do it.
That's one of our plans to do this
when
week.
You're out there? Okay.
Yes.
Right. They sit on a bench.
Where are you in the world right now? What is it that you're...
Well, I'm not really doing much, but that's going to change soon. I'm kind of living with my mom right now, and I was living in sort of isolation, hardly ever going out. I didn't really have any friends except for in this one community that I was involved in.
What's this community that you were talking about?
This was going on in my head far before I graduated Perkins, but I knew I couldn't get involved. I wanted to get involved with the BDSM community. So when I moved to Maine, I did get involved, and I found extreme happiness, catharsis, and freedom through that community.
Okay, so I'm not shocked or appalled or anything. I mean, I don't know a lot about that community. I know enough to include it in my sex ed discussions, and people have very different opinions about it. You know, everything's on a continuum, so there's degrees. So there are degrees
exactly.
of things.
Exactly.
So sounds to me like you're safe.
Very much so. Right, okay. And I only give up power to people who have earned it. I don't, like, because I don't, you know, it's like I don't give up power to people who think that I don't deserve power. And there's this wonderful term I've heard from another blind person in the kink world. She has this term called non-consensual age play, which is what she calls it when people on the street go, oh, sweetie, honey, right. Let me help you, and treat her like a little 5-year-old. Right. The thing is, she likes to be treated like that by the people in her life that respect her as an adult and she's in kink relationships with. But when people do it on the street, she kind of wants to punch them a little bit, you know?
Non-consensual
age play. Age play is a kink term which basically means like being treated like a baby or like a child.
I really like that power thinking. I really like that. I am very curious to see where you go with that. Let me ask you, when was the last time you were evaluated for Asperger's? When was the last time that you went through a series? Because my recollection was you were young. But it would be good to know. I mean,
but I guess it would be good to know, but I have to send out a mass email. Sorry, everyone, false alarm.
Well, I mean, you know, it's funny because somebody sees a label on a form, and it doesn't matter if it was 10, 15, 20 years ago, people are going to say, oh, okay, that's what she is. Well, then she's never going to grow beyond that. What you're able to do is not consistent with my understanding of what people with high-functioning autism are able to do.
Leaves reflect in shimmering water. Tree branches sway gently. A curtain moves in front of an open window. In her room, Michelle zips a pink case. In the car.
Wallet, retainer, headphone case. That's all in there. Phone, I can feel the thing.
At the airport, Michelle and Julie walk through the entrance. Michelle uses her cane and pulls her suitcase.
You make sure you find a refrigerator as soon as you get there for your meds.
Yes,
your shots. Okay.
At the JetBlue counter.
Actually, somebody is meeting her at the gate. So if someone could just get her from security to the gate, she'll be all set. I just want to say that I hope you have the best of time and that you get to meet everybody that you want to meet.
I hope so,
and
too.
I would wish you to make a big impression, but I already know you will. I love you.
Love you, too.
They embrace. Julie stands near a pillar holding her phone. Michelle moves forward with her bag. Julie walks out of the airport. A plane takes off in a hazy sky. At Julie's, patterns of sunlight reflect window panes on the floors and walls. Michelle's dolls stand in the window. Dressed in flowered scrubs, Julie picks up a stethoscope.
Where are you? In Spain. In Spain, she says.
In dim light, she reads text on a phone. Words appear. 7 days, the time Julie spent waiting for Michelle's return. Julie looks in a mirror and applies eyeliner. In the backyard, brothers Michael and Jordan hang a banner that reads, "Happy Birthday." Michelle jumps out of a sedan and runs to the backyard.
I was trying to call you this week.
You called me twice, both times I was at work, but I got your voicemails, and both times I tried to call you back and you didn't answer your phone.
Oh,
so
I'm sorry.
You need to have your ringer off or whatever.
I was busy.
So have a seat.
Surprise!
Michael, her boyfriend.
Oh, give me a hug.
I can't believe you're here!
Yes, you can.
I know, but when you weren't here to begin with, I was... Okay, so so sit down.
Oh boy, this is gonna be great.
Okay.
She faces all of them.
So, I went to L.A., and basically, everything's so spread out there, and the transportation is not nearly as good as I was told it was, and it would be really, really hard for me to live there independently without someone to drive me around.
She swallows.
And so I realized that I might not have to give it up entirely. I mean, there might be opportunities in the future, but I am giving up acting, and I'm not moving to L.A., so that's what I have to tell you guys. And I'm sorry if you guys all expected me to come back and tell you that I was moving out in 2 months and that everything went amazingly, but it really didn't.
Julie scratches the side of her face. The Thomas the Train birthday letters flutter in the breeze. The family group plays volleyball in the yard. Inside, Michelle's glasses rest on a windowsill. She sits in a rocker near the billowing curtains and touches them. Outside, in the yard, Michelle walks below the letters, feeling them. She smiles. She leans toward Hello Kitty cupcakes with candles on them. She holds one, blows out the candle, and grins.
She's
tree branches frame a full moon in a dark blue sky. Cars cross bridges over the Penobscot River. A statue of Paul Bunyan holding an axe. A sign advertises WKIT 100.3 Stephen King's Rock and Roll Station. A white church with fading paint. Michelle and Michael watch a freight train on the railroad tracks. She sits on another track.
Before I went to L.A., I kind of told everyone in my life that it was a done deal, that I was going to be living there and that that was just it. But it was just going to be generally a lot more difficult than I thought it was. I saw a lot of cracks in my plan. So hypothetically, I go out there, give up everything that I'm about, and try to become an actor. There's no guarantee that I'm going to have success with that. Whereas I'm already living my dream of being myself. I'm already a kinkster. I'm already a nerd. I'm already pansexual. I want to be able to live on my own. That doesn't necessarily mean making gourmet meals. I might still just be a, you know, microwave master chef, but I want to know that I have the capacity to live on my own. And I've realized that I want to write and be an activist for women's rights, for LGBT, and for kink awareness and sex positivity. And I think if I say something, it might give the courage to other people to say things. Because they think, well, if that young blind woman can do it, you know, because people think in those terms sometimes, if a blind girl can do it, then I guess I can do it.
She walks along the track to Michael.
It's beautiful.
They embrace.
How could you hear me?
I couldn't, but I just knew it was beautiful.
Aww.
The white timeline moves to summer 2014. Michelle draws a poster with rainbow colors. It says, Unlearning Normal. Michelle stands with a mic in a coffee house.
So, my name is Michelle Smith. This is Unlearning Normal, a bit of a story about my life and some people who have tried to stand in my way. Boo. All right. Okay, thank you. When I was 17, the head house parent in my cottage, which is kind of like a dorm but different, she was kind of, let's just say, close-minded. She kind of had this idea that when you're an adult, you do very adult things and you don't like Hello Kitty. So what I did was I went home and I got all of my Hello Kitty stuff and brought it back to school with me and arranged it just so. I was still the same as a mature 17-year-old woman, just with a room full of Hello Kitty stuff. It didn't change anything. You know, there are going to be people in your life who are going to tell you that you have to be a certain way because your age, your gender, your race, your sexual orientation, whatever. And there's a word for people like that. They're called assholes.
Julie stands in the hall. She smiles.
I mean, I'm a female. I identify as female, but I don't think about that all the time. I don't let my gender or my age or my disability or any other factor about me that's just a fact. I don't let that dictate any other parts of who I am. I just be me. And I feel like that has made me more happy than any popularity I ever got being someone else.
She smiles and sits at a table. Under flashing lights, she dances with others. At the coffee house, Bill and Julie kiss across a table. Outside, they walk down the dark sidewalk. In front of a club, Michelle holds her Hello Kitty doll as she chats and laughs with a group of people. Inside, she drinks at a bar. She turns to a woman beside her. She taps her shoulder and waves. Michelle rests her chin on Hello Kitty. On the dance floor, she bumps Kitty up and down in the air as she dances with the crowd. Outside, a man is on a cell phone.
Yeah, I need a cab.
Michelle sways loosely with the music. She walks crookedly to a cab. The cab leaves. At Julie's.
Not the end of the world, Michelle.
It's symbolic of the fact that I'm not independent and I can't take care of myself.
I can't see anybody that really dresses up too much to go
yes.
to bank or housing authority to fill out an application for housing, Michelle.
This is what I'm saying. I can't pick out my own clothes. I would have walked out of the house with a too low cut top and short pants that don't fit me.
Should I have not said anything?
I'm not blaming you. I'm saying that I was just ready to walk out the door in this. I can't live by myself. I can't survive. Why are we even going to the apartment place if I can't even dress myself?
You dress every day by yourself.
Obviously not today. Not when it counts. Not when it matters.
Well, and I won't be far away.
I can't drive. How am I going to come and see you every day and make sure I'm okay? How am I going to be okay?
Julie leans against the door frame and looks at Michelle.
Do you want me to help you find something else?
Yes.
You can still wear that sweater. Just wear like a different tank top underneath it.
Okay.
One thing you didn't realize is that when you turn sideways, your right
boob?
Yes. Was really hanging out. And you couldn't tell that, Michelle.
I felt like this was the test to see if I was I could be independent, and I felt like I failed. Do you think I can really live by myself?
I really do. I do, and I think living close by here in Bangor for a little while is the best way. You know, that way you have me, the support system, that so when things come up that you're not sure of, that you...
I really do want to live in an apartment in Bangor. I really do. For at least 6 months.
I really want it for you.
I do too.
They hug.
Sorry.
Outside, Julie and Michelle hang clothes on a line.
So, like, if you run out of meds?
I will have to go get them myself. Honestly, I think that if I didn't do a lot for myself, this would be a terrible idea and would never work. It's probably like, hi.
Hi.
What are you doing here?
She goes to her father and hugs him.
Really? You drove all this way? So you know
I still think there's some distance between Michelle and I.
Julie goes to the house.
I felt for the longest time that my kids were being turned against me. And I always wanted to get, I believe you, Mom. And that's why I kept bringing it up.
In the living room, Julie sits in a rocker. Michelle sits on the couch with her arms crossed.
I never got it.
She rocks and pats Michelle's knee.
Mom.
What?
I don't always know what to believe. But what I do know is I know you're a good person and I love you very, very much. I really do. I'm sorry if that's not the answer you wanted, but I can only be honest.
I know. I love you too.
Michelle hugs her.
I don't want to make you sad.
I'm not. I mean...
She wipes a tear.
I can only put myself in your shoes and you... Loved me, and that's all that matters.
Michelle nods. At Bangor Housing Authority Administrative Office.
And then there's orientation. And,
Michelle and Julie walk
and
in.
All right, excellent. Thank you so much.
You're very,
very helpful.
Thank you. Have a nice afternoon.
At a home goods store.
Something plastic.
Do you want a sip cup?
I have one already.
You're
Okay.
At home, Michelle runs her hand along Mitchell's quilt. She looks closely at his picture. Outside, Julie and Michelle walk to a spot on a grassy hill. Julie plants a small plant. Michelle hugs her. One stone has crosses laid on it, and a plaque. Mitchell Allen Michael Smith. Julie walks back to the car. Michael looks at the grave. Michelle lies on the grass beside it. The sun's rays glow through tree branches above.
I feel like at this point in my life, I'm not the only one.
On a street, using her cane, Michelle walks down a sidewalk past stores.
I'm not the only one who loses their keys, frantically looking for them, probably way overreacting. I know I'm not the only one.
She punches a time clock. In a thrift store, she waves at a blonde.
I'm not the only one who wakes up in the morning sometimes and wonders. I wonder what everyone thinks of me. I wonder if everyone thinks that I'm a failure. You know, I know I'm not the only one who goes through bouts of depression when things change in their life and they don't understand it.
She sorts through small items. At a Thomas the Train ride.
All of these people could relate to me in one way or another. Even if it's something small, or if it's something as big as my parents got divorced when I was 13 or 14, oh, mine did too. You know, it doesn't matter if it's a big thing or a small thing. Everyone can relate to each other in one way or another, and that's something very beautiful. It's good to think about whenever you're thinking that you're all alone in the world. And trust me, if you think you're all alone, think about how many, you know, billions of other people think they're all alone. 6 billion, to be precise.
On the ride, she looks out the open window and waves.
Oh my goodness.
Michelle walks into an empty apartment with her mother. Bill and Julie carry a chair and a moving box into the apartment. Michelle kneels by a window and opens a bag. She puts her multicolored dolls on the sill. She stands silhouetted in the doorway. Words appear. The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart. Helen Keller. Michelle is now living independently in Bangor. She's actively searching for a full-time job and has been volunteering, hosting a YouTube channel, and writing. She has plans to move to Boston and wants to work in a children's hospital. She still dreams of being a voice actor one day. Credits. Directed by Garrett Zavitas. Produced by Ariana Garfinkel. Jeff Consiglio. Edited by Jeff Consiglio. Additional editing, Sarah Ginsberg. Cinematography by Sarah Ginsberg. Jordan Salvatoriello. Produced by Garrett Zavitas. Jordan Salvatoriello. Original music, Tyler Strickland. Executive producers, Kevin S. Bright, Claudia Bright. Post-production services and mastering, Fancy Film Post Services. Audio description, AudioEyes. Post-production sound services, Puget Sound, Inc. Supervising sound editor and re-recording mixer, Joe Milner. Foley Recording Services, Sound Troupe. Very special thanks, the Smith Family, Perkins School for the Blind, Special thanks, Corinne Grosbeck. The director would like to thank his mom, Norma Jean Darcy, for teaching him what it means to see. This film was supported by LEF Moving Image Fund, Independent Filmmaker Project. To find out more about Michelle and be a part of this continuing story, please visit www.bestandmostbeautifulthings.com. Copyright 2015, Beacon Street Films, LLC.